Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. I do have the hiccups today, so I do apologize if you're hearing a lot of those. Man, I was fine for like an hour. Like, I had that hot sauce, that truffle hot sauce they gave him to me. Then for like 2 hours, I was fine. And then like half an hour ago, I got him again. So I'm a little annoyed. So I do apologize for that. But today's Wednesday, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, RIP. We're going to talk about World Cup quarterfinals drawn. We're through the group stages, through the first round of knockout games. And the New Year's Six Bowls are set. So we're going to talk about that. I got a big top five, I think, at the end. I think you'll enjoy particularly, Matt. So got a lot to talk about today. We are going to have a baseball episode too, because a lot of free agency stuff. Trey Turner signed. Aaron Judge signed. Carlos Correa has not signed yet. DeGrom signed. So we'll have to do a baseball, but one more football and soccer episode.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year. You know, as much as I don't like the World Cup being on in the fall while I have to be at school and teaching, it is nice to have such important soccer going on in November, December.
It's interesting for sure. It's kind of weird. I'm used to it being a summer tournament because it's in the middle of, obviously, European soccer leagues, which are taking a break right now. So let's walk through. Let's go through start of the World Cup. Then we'll do the football stuff, college football stuff. But we'll go through just each knock, like first round game quickly, the knockout round, then kind of the semifinals, or excuse me, quarterfinal matchups. Probably listening to this on Thursday, the 8th, plenty of time ahead of the quarterfinal matchup. So first game, obviously, our boys lost to the Netherlands 3-1. Me and you kind of disagree, because I don't think we were outplayed except for those few minutes where our defense just completely lapsed. But the difference is they finished their chances and we did not. So if that's the definition of outplayed, then we definitely did. But I feel like from an opportunity standpoint and possession standpoint, we weren't massively outplayed. They just were much more clinical with the opportunities we gave them.
Yeah, well, and the reason I would say I think we outplayed them, I think that, you know, we obviously, I think had more shots. I think that we had a little bit more possession. At least we felt like the U.S. had possession. I just felt like the Netherlands was comfortable giving us possession when they did and just kind of took the ball when they wanted to. I just never really, even when we had the ball, we were taking shots, I never felt like Netherlands was out of position. I never felt like they were uncomfortable. And whenever the Netherlands had the ball, I felt that our defense was kind of scrambling and they were, for the most part, doing what they wanted to do. I just felt like this was a very collected, patient game from them. And I think the reason maybe it felt like the U.S. was in it more than they were is because the Netherlands was so patient, and they knew they could be patient against us.
The one goal we did score is just a complete fluke, too, so it's kind of misleading as well. I do think we don't give up that second goal to Daley Blind right before halftime, I think it's a much different game. I think we have more of a shot. But once they got a second goal, it was kind of game over.
Yeah, that makes it so much harder. And then, yeah, that goal that we do score, that ties it up at 1-1 instead of still being down 2-1. You know what, actually, that goal is like, now that I think about it, that was the goal that the U.S. did score where kind of I believe, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, with Haji Wright, who just kind of mishit it, sailed over his head. It reminded me very much of that ball that went in over or the Omar Gonzalez own goal that just went over the keeper's head. It was a very similar position on the pitch, similar arc. Obviously, this was a goal on their pitch and not an own goal, but it had a similar trajectory to it.
Just a fluke. And the other game, Argentina beat Australia 2-1. Messi, I didn't realize this, he scored his first knockout round World Cup goal in this game.
Yes. Yeah, I think when we talk about how Messi has not showed up at international tournaments, I think that part gets forgot a lot. It's not so much that he hadn't won a World Cup. I think that had he, you know, been a regular scorer in the knockout rounds, I think that people would have taken a lot more pressure off of him. But, you know, just looking at he's only at about 9 World Cup goals total for being in five World Cups. That's similar to Ronaldo. Argentina's obviously gone a lot farther. But Kylian Mbappe, it has got that many World Cup goals, and he's 20 whatever.
It's his second tournament, I think.
Yeah, and so that, I think when people talk about Messi not showing up, the Copa America took pressure off that, but it was really not scoring in these games as much as just not winning them.
Well, and he's not – I tweeted – he missed a penalty in the group stages, I believe, against Poland, and they still ended up winning that game, but I tweeted something about how he's obviously an incredible player, but he's not – he's like an average penalty taker, but you can't not give him the ball because he's Messi, but he's not clinical at penalty kicks, especially in international tournaments. Like in the second Copa America game against Chile, he missed one in the penalty shootout, which led to Chile winning. Missed one in the Poland game, didn't end up mattering, but he's not the same Messi when he plays for Argentina as he is when he plays for Barcelona. Now PSG will be Miami, obviously, and I think part of that is just the pressure of trying to be Maradona. Like, the country expects so much. I honestly, Americans can't comprehend, including myself, like, how much pressure Argentina puts on him.
Yes, yeah. I do get the feeling as we get closer to the end of his career, I just feel like there's a lot of, as much as they want him to win, I'm beginning to feel this sort of, they realize they've only got a few years left. And I'm feeling a bit more love towards Messi than maybe I did earlier in his career. So even though I think there's pressure, I think it's kind of, they're not going to be disappointed in the ways that they were when they lost the Copa America to Chile 2 years in a row, or when they lost the World Cup in 2014. I think it's definitely still pressure. I think it's a little bit different now.
Speaking of Copa America, 2024 USA is coming. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Ecuador backed out of whatever reason for hosting it, so we'll have to go.
We will have to go.
See wherever. Hopefully Chile's playing in Phoenix or LA or San Francisco, something like that, close to us.
Yes.
All right, next game, Japan-Croatia. Japan almost pulled it out. Awesome goal. You were all in on Japan. Ended up losing in penalty kicks because they just took some pretty horrible penalties, honestly.
No, it was not good. It was quite disappointing, honestly. And they did keep up their thing, only giving up one goal or less. Croatia was only able to score one goal on them. This was just a game they were not able to get to. And, you know, look, it probably was a little bit wishful thinking to have them in to getting past Brazil in the next round. But, like, I mean, I think they played well against Croatia. It's just Croatia is an excellent team. And when you get to the top 16 teams in the world, anybody can win. You know, as dismissive as maybe I sounded about the U.S., they're still an excellent, excellent soccer team, and I think they showed that. Senegal is really good. Morocco obviously beat Spain. And Croatia has obviously shown they're really good, given the last World Cup. And so nothing to be – I don't think it's a letdown to lose to Croatia, for sure.
No, and, I mean, Korea, they lost 4-1 to Brazil. Could have been, like, 7-0 easily. Like, mm-hmm. Brazil scored two goals in the first, I think, 10 minutes of the game. Felt like it, at least. And then it was just kind of – that's the only World Cup game I've turned off. I was like, oh, nothing's going on.
Yeah.
In that game. Not much to talk about. Same thing, England-Senegal. I thought Senegal played better than the 3-0 looks like, but England was just clearly the better team. Still my favorite – my pick to win the whole thing. France beat Poland 3-1. We're kind of cruising through this. Do you want to say anything about either of those?
Only thing I want to say about England-Senegal, we've talked about this. It's a real shame Sadio Mane's not here. You know, Senegal is one of the African teams that has won a group stage game. So excellent African team, and they're certainly going to be back. But you just have to think with Sadio Mane there, you know, he scores a goal that puts more pressure on England. Things could have been different, so it's a real shame that we didn't get to have that moment.
One of the best strikers in the world. Now, France, they're missing Karim Benzema, who won the Ballon d'Or, which, according to people, he's the best player in the world. They're missing Paul Pogba, they're missing Conte, defending champs. We both, I think, were low on them. And I mentioned to you during the France-Poland game, like, did we discount the injuries too much because – and not count enough on Kylian Mbappe, because he's been unbelievable. I think by far the best player in this tournament. Had a couple unbelievable goals in this Poland game.
Yeah, Mbappe's obviously excellent. And, you know, we probably did discount them. I do have to say that of these 16 teams, even though you get to the top 16, you're an excellent team. I think Poland is the weakest. I think they would have preferred to get a clean sheet against Poland. And so England, I think, is going to be a real challenge in that next round. It's going to be exciting. I think this is when we're going to see, you know, obviously they still have Giroud. They still have Mbappe.
Griezmann.
Still have Griezmann, obviously. I'm still worried about Conte. I think Conte is so, so good. I think he should have received more attention for the Ballon d'Or in recent years. So England might be the game where they start to miss N'Golo Kanté.
I think England's going to win that game. We can get to that in that kind of next round preview. Again, I apologize for the hiccups, folks. Morocco beat Spain in penalties. Now, with Spain, I don't know that Alvaro Morata is their best goalkeeper, or excuse me, their best penalty keeper, but I do believe he's their best goal scorer, and he didn't even attempt one because Spain missed the first three, including their captain Busquets took one. Fantastic guy, but he doesn't have the goal scoring credits Morata does. So I just don't get why you don't have your best player, at least in the first three, where he's guaranteed to take a shot, if not the first penalty.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if this is the reason that I was maybe dismissive of Spain. I obviously had them beating Morocco. I don't think I had them going as far as some people did. But I think youth is hard in the World Cup, in these big tournaments. It's just hard to have youth. And I just wonder if this showed. Maybe you put Busquets in because you feel like you want to have a veteran absorbing some of the pressure. And then you do have some young guys taking penalties. So I don't know if that's it. But, you know, Morocco's goalkeeper is excellent. They've given up one goal this entire tournament.
I texted you. Like, despite my criticism of Spain's penalties, I thought that was the best penalty shootout I've seen from a goalie's perspective. Maybe recency bias, but there's a few where I'm like, the goalie won that by himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're an excellent team. They have a really, really good defense. I mean, Portugal, well, we can talk about how they match up against Portugal in the next round. That might be challenging for them. But, yeah, Morocco, very, very good team. Best middle distance runner of all time. Moroccan. Hitsem El Guerrouj.
It's preaching to the choir, man. Yeah. Preaching to the choir. I'm an idiot and picked Switzerland to beat Portugal for some reason. I don't know what I was thinking. That was not even close. That was even more lopsided than the Brazil game.
Yeah. I mean, Portugal is... They're really, really good. They are the team that I feel like I've overlooked the most out of everybody. They just look... so excellent, and having Ronaldo coming off the bench, I know that he does not have the legs that he used to, but man, he can still really put goals in. So if you have Ronaldo as your super sub when everybody else is tired, and, you know, who knows, maybe that turns into a locker room disaster, but if they hold things together, then...
Well, especially when Portugal was young, it was like Ronaldo and everybody else, but like Gonçalo Ramos had a hat trick in this game. He's 21 years old. I've never heard of him, if I'm being honest, and he crushed it in that game. Bruno Fernandes, I watch him a lot because he plays for Manchester United. I think he's the best player on the roster. Pepe, who's been playing for years, got a goal.
Wow, Felix is excellent.
Really good player. So they do have a really good team. And looking how it shapes up, we can look at this. So they play Morocco, I think. Well, they are favored. I think they have a good shot to win that game, but Morocco has proven they're not a pushover. So it should be a competitive game. I think Portugal wins that. Then they play the winner of England-France. There's not an easy path, but there's a path where Portugal makes the finals.
No, I think they have a real shot. And if I'm picking the half of the bracket, I do not want to be on the half with Brazil and Argentina. I want to be on the other side, even if that means I have to play France. In England, obviously I picked the Netherlands to win the whole thing. They're on that side of the bracket as well. And so, yeah, I think the thing that's going to be really fun to see with Morocco is this is going to be the best goal scoring team in the tournament so far. Well, second best, I think Brazil has scored more goals, but against Morocco, who has been the best team defensively. So that's going to be probably the game I'm looking forward to the most with the Netherlands and Argentina.
Yeah, and let's just go through that. So that is the first quarterfinal matchup for Friday. I guess it's technically the second one, but it's the first like listed one. Netherlands, Argentina. I want the Netherlands to win, but an Argentina-Brazil match in the semifinals would be intense.
Oh, that would be so fun. It's a shame that we couldn't have an Argentina-Brazil final. That would be so amazing.
That would mean one of them would have to win. So
that's true.
I'd be bummed out. So
yeah. No, that I think it's a very interesting game. Argentina clearly has much more talent than the United States. At least developed talent. The United States is going to get older and better for the next World Cup. It's just Netherlands looked so in control and so patient that game against the U.S. It just feels like they can control the game against anybody. I think they're going to do it with Argentina.
Well, I think Netherlands has really good midfield. They obviously have the best, I think, defender in the world. I don't know how controversial that is. That's pretty much everyone thinks that, right? Van Dijk's the best defender.
Yeah, he's certainly in the top three. I would pick Van Dijk.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, Argentina has Messi, really good roster on top of that, so it's certainly not Messi. I think Netherlands has a really good shot. I think they can win that game. Croatia or Brazil? Brazil's obviously going to be the favorite, but I think Modric is somehow underrated still. Like, I think he was a finalist for the Ballon d'Or a couple years ago, or maybe it was like 2018, that World Cup year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he might even won it that year.
I believe he won.
Yeah, like he's still somehow underrated, I feel like. And he's just been doing nothing but holding down the midfield forever, which is really going to be important in this Brazil game. So if Croatia can, you know, Modric can hold it down, play good defense, maybe get a goal on the counterattack, Croatia has a shot. You kind of have to pick Brazil. But I do think there's a world where Croatia can win that game.
Yeah, I mean, Croatia has a shot, and, like, you know, they have more World Cup experience than Brazil does. Brazil is certainly not a young team, but Croatia has gone farther, and, you know, Brazil obviously did lose that Copa America final to Argentina a couple of years ago, so they have championship experience. It just, I don't know, man. Brazil is just so talented. I can't pick against them anyway, even though I picked Japan. To beat them is just, they look so good.
Yeah, I think you have to pick. I picked Croatia in like our little thing, but you kind of have to pick Brazil. No, I picked Brazil. Yeah, because I remember I was like, oh, I picked a Brazil, Argentina, and then Argentina, England final, which would be crazy. That's a big Argentina, England's like maybe my favorite World Cup rivalry that makes like no geographical sense, but a lot of political sense.
A lot of political sense. That Malvinas, Falkland Islands thing makes that incredibly intense. And so, yeah, man, Argentina, there's no, I think even including Brazil, I think there's nobody that would like to be in a World Cup more than England again.
And my favorite World Cup highlight, Michael Owen, 1998, that goal against Argentina that he scored when he was like 18 or something like that.
I'll tell you what, man, if Argentina wins the World Cup by beating Brazil and then England, it's just going to be pandemonium. And just so much joy in that country.
They're already so arrogant, though. They don't need more help with that. I think, oh man, I can't, literally cannot even imagine
that talking. Would be the best possible path for them to world. Talking, you could not dream of something better than that for Argentina.
Yeah, try talking to an Argentinian if that happens. It'd be impossible. England, France. So, and speaking of historical political rivalries, this is like the best one ever. You know, this is like Battle of Hastings type stuff.
Battle of Hastings, Hundred Years' War. This is an excellent, excellent game. And we talked about, you know, how England is going to challenge France's defense. They're going to challenge their midfield the way they haven't been challenged before. Whew, I don't know. France just looks so good, and it just,
I love England's goal scorers. I love, again, I'm picking mostly Manchester United players, but Marcus Rashford, I think, is the man. Saka's incredible. Harry Kane's obviously really good. I don't like Jordan Henderson because he plays for Liverpool, but I would love him. Kind of the same rules like Modric, like that, you know, holding midfield player. I think he does a lot for them. Harry Maguire, I actually don't like that much. I think he's a bit overrated, but he's a good center back. I think England has a shot. I'm all in on England.
Yeah, you know, I did pick England in our thing. I'm going to pick England again. I think France should definitely be the betting favorite. But, you know, crazy things happen in the World Cup, and I think this is going to be a game where, you know, England gets a goal in the right time and, you know, France has a deflection at the wrong time.
France is the favorite, betting favorite.
Yeah.
No, I think England is really good. And I think they're going to win that game. Next, last game, Morocco, Portugal. We kind of already talked about it. Morocco's an awesome story. Really good. It's not a fluke. Like, they're a really good team. Portugal's just proven, like, they can just score on anybody, though. So, I think it's kind of the most contrasting styles game so in this round, I think.
Yeah, very excited to see when this happens. Is December 10th a Saturday? Does that sound?
I think it's a Sunday. I think the 9th. Well, let's check.
Okay. Well, anywho, yeah. Yeah, I always have to look for games that are not during school so I'm able to actually watch. But I do think, yeah, Morocco, Portugal is probably the game that I'm most excited about. And yeah, I think I do have to pick Portugal.
So it is Saturday. You were right. I was wrong.
Okay. So I'll be able to watch it.
Netherlands, Argentina's Fridays. Croatia, Brazil's Friday. Then those other two, France, England, Morocco, Portugal, are Saturday.
Right.
So it sounds like we both agreed we're picking. Wait, you picked Netherlands still?
I'm sticking with the Netherlands.
I technically picked Argentina because I picked USA to beat the Netherlands. So I have Argentina, Brazil, and then England. I had Spain in the next round, but I would pick Portugal in this matchup. And then I legit think we're heading for an England-Argentina final.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I still believe it in the Netherlands. They just look so patient, so controlled. I think this is the year they're finally going to break through, get that World Cup.
It would be cool if the Netherlands won. That'd be a cool, good for them type situation. I don't get why they're orange, though. Same thing, like our little brother explained why Italy wears blue, even though it's not on their flag, and it's a similar situation.
It has something to do with, and someone is going to, please listen to this and tweet at us. But I believe it has to do with Holland is kind of like a state. Like if you ever hear Holland and the Netherlands, Netherlands is a country and Holland is sort of like a state inside. But it's obviously very important. I believe orange has something to do with them.
Well, that sucks for everyone who lives in the Netherlands, but not in Holland then.
I guess so, but I don't know. That was my understanding.
Let's talk some college football. Let's talk some college football. It's tough because, like, I have the whole bowl schedule lined up, but, like, everyone, not in a bad way, but just the reality, like, everyone is either sitting out or transferring or, like, declaring for the NFL draft. So, like, none of these games are honestly really exciting. So, still going to go through a few, but we're going to talk about every New Year's Six bowl. The transfer portal's insane. Like, on December 5th, the day, I was just, like, refreshing that over and over and over and over and over again. Also, just looking up Deion Sanders' press conference highlights, because that was entertaining.
I'm sure it was.
Did you watch any of the video of him talking to his team, in, like Colorado?
I did not see any of that.
So, well, hey, there. So he filmed him telling Jackson State that he was leaving. It was really interesting because he was hearing that dynamic because you never hear or film like the college coaches telling their kids they're taking another job. So it was really interesting to hear him do that. And then talking to Colorado, he's basically like, you guys suck. You better transfer because you're not going to play here, was basically. And he's already got like he already got a five-star commitment, like literally the day of. He's bringing a bunch of like Jackson State people, but a couple Jackson State commits flipped already. So Colorado's going to be, and I think their Instagram followers went up like three times, like went from like 50,000 to like 140,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that dude can recruit. I think given, you know, these schools that he's been at, we've got to say he's the best recruiter in college football.
Absolutely. He got Travis Hunter, best player in the country to go to Jackson State.
Yeah.
Which is an FCS school at the end of the day.
Right. Yes. And so I'm assuming he's got to be one of the people going to Colorado.
It hasn't been official. I would bet that for sure. Yeah. And his son is a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't want to mispronounce his name, but his son's awesome quarterback.
Yeah,
who's going with him? Yeah, Colorado's not bowling though, so we'll have to wait till next year to see him play. But really excited, I am excited about that. I think Colorado, because when we were growing up, they were on the tail end of being actually good, and now they suck. But I think it'd be fun if they were like a decent program again.
Yeah,
Colorado Nebraska was an awesome game. That obviously they don't play anymore, and both the programs suck. But that was a really cool game to watch.
Yeah,
you don't share my enthusiasm.
No, I'm just not the college football historian that you are.
Like, I loved Colorado, Nebraska. I love Michigan, Notre Dame. They haven't played for a while. Kansas, Missouri, I thought was really interesting. Any of these, like, you know, historic conference rivalries, loved watching. That we miss out on a lot of. Okay, so we'll talk about a few of the bowl games that would be interesting if all the players were playing. The Fenway Bowl, Cincinnati, Louisville, that's there, like, really close to each other, right on the other side of their respective states. Luke Fickell, just both the head coaches left, so who knows what's going to happen there. But in general, that would be an interesting game. Florida, Oregon State would be a good game. Anthony Richardson declared for the draft. If you see any you want to talk about, let me know.
Well, the only thing I want to say is the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl presented by Stifel is the only one. All these other bowl games are one line. This is a full two lines. That is the worst name for a bowl game I've ever heard.
Well, yeah, how did Jimmy Kimmel get that? Like,
well, why is it by Stifel? Why do they have two sponsors?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
As Washington State, Fresno State, I don't think we want to talk about that.
Jay Kane is a really good quarterback at Fresno State.
Good for him.
BYU's in the New Mexico Bowl, which is, for me would be the worst one. Shout out to the lovely folks in Mexico. It's not my favorite state I've ever been to.
I actually, I do think you're right. Wasn't this like ranked the worst bowl game?
Yeah. Do you mean SMU BYU or just in general?
Just in general, like getting an invitation to the New Mexico Bowl.
I would think so.
It's generally pretty bad in terms of the teams they usually get. I actually enjoyed New Mexico for a few reasons. We went when you moved out of Arizona, we took a little road trip. A lot of cool Native American stuff we saw there. Drove through some very cool ski towns. Green chili cheeseburger.
That was really good.
One of the best burgers I ever had. That was very, very good. Really good Mexican food. Santa Fe was really, really cool. Had some great tacos in Albuquerque.
That's really good. Taos is really cool. I like Santa Fe. You liked Albuquerque more than me, even though we did have a couple good – the breakfast place I thought was pretty good too. Yeah. I don't remember what it was called. But from a football match at BYU SMU, again, I'm just assuming everyone's playing. We obviously are BYU grads.
Yeah.
SMU, I really like watching Rhett Lashley. I'm on board as a good offensive coach, a really good quarterback. My favorite North Carolina player transferred there, Bo Corrales. Yeah.
Now you want to talk about good games from the 80s, old rivalries. Oh. BYU SMU would have been fun.
SMU is like the coolest program ever, yeah. Honestly. I think they're sick. And like their helmets, like the horse and the red and blue.
Oh, they do have good uniforms.
I love it. So we're going to watch that one for sure. But yeah, the 80s SMU BYU. Think of also just like contrasting. You get a little Methodist Mormon action going on, just different programs. So we're talking ourselves into the New Mexico Bowl,
yeah,
is what I'm hearing. So top of the list there. Okay, let's see what else. Again, stop me if.
Okay, well, go back up. Boca Raton always has great sponsors. This year, it's roofclaim.com. I love a .com sponsor.
If your roof needs fixing, check them out. Give them a ring. The R plus L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Well, Austin Reed transferred from Western Kentucky, so never mind. I was going to say he's a really good quarterback, really fun offense to watch, but never mind.
Did he transfer, like, before the bowl game?
Yeah, he's in the transfer portal. Like, because the transfer portal's now, like, going on.
Can't they just wait until after bowl season?
That's what I'm saying, but, like, because also, like, signing day's in, like, 2 weeks. It's impossible to keep track of rosters. And, like, basketball's even worse. I've given up on, like, following any basketball that's not North Carolina because I just have no idea.
But why are we supposed to care about these bowl games if the players don't care?
You're literally
and
not.
And the coaches don't care. Then, like, why am I going to watch?
It's honestly like a spring game, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone's either transferred or declared for the NFL. Like, half the coaches are gone that we're talking about or fired.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just didn't want to skip straight to the New Year's Six Bowls.
Yeah.
No, but I used to love bowl games. They're, like, intense and they mattered, and now they just don't, and it's not – I don't know.
Yeah, that's – I mean, you know, and I don't want to get into this today, but another reason the playoff will help, I mean, it's not – these bowl games are going to get worse, but we'll at least have, you know, four or six more bowl games that people will care about.
Yeah, I guess.
So that'll be a plus.
Baylor and Air Force would be a good game. assuming. It's hard to transfer from Air Force, I think.
You would think so.
Because wouldn't that be, like, deserting, technically?
I mean, I don't know the deal exactly. I'm sure somebody does, and I'm sure people leave the Air Force Academy after a year.
I saw an Air Force player in the transfer portal when I was scrolling through it, but I don't get how you're allowed to leave.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, with scholarships and stuff, that does get tricky. I do not know enough to talk about that.
Wake Forest, Missouri would be good, but I think Sam Hartman, the Wake Forest quarterback's not playing. So, never mind, I guess. The New Year's Six Bowls are going to be good. Coastal Carolina, Jamie Chadwell left, the head coach. They're playing East Carolina in the Ticket Smarter, never heard of that company, Birmingham Bowl. I guess the advertising's working, though. At least I'm hearing about it.
I guess so.
UCF Duke. Duke, I think, has been an underrated team, so I think that would be a good game, assuming everybody's plays. Elko's done a better job. AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Kansas had their best season since the Orange Bowl, probably. Playing Arkansas, that would be interesting. North Carolina's, like, hole too deep in the secondary transferred, so they're playing in the Holiday Bowl against Oregon, so they're – I would be excited. Drake May announced he's staying at North Carolina.
That's nice.
So that's good. Everyone else is leaving, including the offensive coordinator, who I wasn't, like, a huge fan of anyway. Literally, like, North Carolina's entire secondary, plus their backups, are gone. It's nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know how in the NFL I say that the fastest way to suck is have, like, multiple, like, injuries at the same position? It's not as true in college, but that's what's happening.
You would think that one of those guys would be like, oh, if I just stay here, then I'll get to play a lot.
You would think so. Well, and the defense was so bad that they need good players. So it'd be easy. Anyway. Texas Tech Ole Miss could be good. Oklahoma. Oh, never mind. That wouldn't be good. The Cheez-It Bowl. Texas Washington could be good. Notre Dame, South Carolina, Michael Mayer is not playing. Notre Dame's quarterback's transferring. So
if you told me the Barstool was sponsoring a bowl game and asked me to guess where it was, I would guess Arizona, I think.
Yeah.
So
no, it makes sense. It's in Tucson.
Yeah. Ohio, yeah. Wyoming. So that'll be fun.
And yeah, I like the campus. I don't love Tucson, but, like, the foothills are really pretty and it's an awesome campus. The overall city I'm not 100% on board with, but really good sandwich place that I'm blanking on. The foothills are, like, really nice neighborhood and it's a very pretty campus.
Yeah. I've not been there since we were four.
I go.
And you got lost at the zoo.
That was fun. The stadium, I really like the stadium. It's so fun. It's, like, steep, so you kind of got a good view of everything. They do a good job. Okay, let's talk about New Year's Six Bowls. We will talk about all of these. So, Capital One Orange Bowl, Tennessee versus Clemson. It's basically the last two teams South Carolina destroyed going to play each other. Hendon Hooker's hurt. Tennessee's quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, transferred for Clemson, but Clay Kubnik was going to start anyway, the freshman from Texas. I want to pick Tennessee. I'm worried about Kendall Milton. I might have gotten his name, but yeah, the backup quarterback for Tennessee, but they did drop 56 on Vanderbilt. So I think I'm still going to pick Tennessee in that game.
Yeah, I think I would probably pick Tennessee as well. Just seems like, yeah, I don't have too much to say. Jerseys in this one are going to be horrific to watch.
Well, Clemson, I think, is going to wear their orange pants. I'd imagine Tennessee does something fancy. It's going to be it's a lot of overwhelming.
Just so much orange.
A lot of orange. Alabama, Kansas State could be cool. A little purple and, like, crimson action.
Yeah, that'll be fun. How many years, like, Alabama's got to go to the Sugar Bowl 4 years out of six, right?
Well, yeah, they either win the SEC and go there, or it's a playoff game. They're the number one seed, and that's the closest game to them.
Right.
So they're in the Sugar Bowl quite a bit. And if Bryce Young, Dallas Turner, and Will Anderson play, I would pick Alabama to win. But Kansas State, they just beat TCU. Good bunch. Chris Kleiman's doing a really good job there. So if Alabama has a couple guys sit, Cooley McKinstry, really good cornerback. If at all, I think Kansas State, a lot of those guys will play, but Alabama depends on how many sit out for the NFL draft, I think.
Right, yeah.
I would think it'd be fun if Kansas State won.
I think it'd be fun. I feel like this is some years, if you have Alabama not in the playoff, you have kind of a letdown. I feel like Alabama knew the whole season they weren't going to be in the playoffs, which I think makes a letdown a little bit less likely, although they're going to continue to have the problems of the receivers not getting open that they've had all year.
It's a big problem. The biggest problem, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't get your receivers open, it's hard to do. Now, it's not the only thing, but it's hard to do a lot on offense if you can't get separation. Mm-hmm. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, I hate so much that it's not at the Cotton Bowl. Because that's – Cotton Bowl, to me, second to the Rose Bowl, is like historical, awesome venues. That's where the Texas OU game is played. Mm-hmm. And they played at the stupid Cowboy Stadium. I get it. Like, newer stadium, a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. But the Cotton Bowl is just so cool.
Yeah, college football, I do, you know, as much as I want these kids making money, I just feel like tradition is so important and makes college football what it is. So I agree with you. It's a real bummer they're not playing there.
It's stupid. Anyway, Tulane USC, I'd be interested if Kelly Williams, because his hamstring, like, really bad, got hurt in the Pac-12 championship game. So I wonder if I think Miller Moss or Moss Miller or something. I should know this. I think it's Miller Moss. Let me just triple check it.
Yeah, well,
Miller Moss.
Okay. Or, well, I was just going to say while you were checking this, you've checked it now, so we don't need it. But anywho, I don't know, man. USC just looked so bad against Utah. Like, they just looked so that, like, they looked like a bad football team, which is crazy because I know that they're good, but just. It concerns me. Now, I don't think Tulane is going to be as strong or as big as Utah. I don't think they're going to be as hard to tackle as the Utah guys. You seem to be really down on Tulane.
Yeah, but they do have a really good running back. And same thing, like, if USC guys sit out, or, like, if Caleb Williams isn't playing, then Tulane has a shot. And, like, we've seen these group of five teams win. It's very infrequent where we're watching a football game and you have, like, a resounding opinion on a team, and you just couldn't believe how poorly USC was tackling.
That was so such bad tackling.
Like, literally, though, like, it's not, they just, like, bump into the guys.
Yeah, it's like really terrible.
Mika Bernard's touchdown, last touchdown of the game, he was in a pile of like four USC guys and no one thought to grab him. They just were like bumping around each other like chicken without their heads off. Yeah, with heads cut off. It's unbelievable, honestly. And Andy Staples, really good writer for The Athletic, he talked about, it's the same thing at Oklahoma. They'd have a superstar quarterback and the defense would drop, like, give up 50. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'd let him down every time. So Tulane definitely has a shot, but same thing with Alabama. Depends on a lot of the USC guys if they sit out. But it depends. If it's, like, more than a touchdown, I would probably pick Tulane to, like, keep it close. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I have been a little bit down on them. Rose Bowl game, I do think a lot of these guys are going to play for both Penn State and Utah. Penn State hasn't been, I think, since Sam Darnold beat them when Penn State had Saquon Barkley. Utah last year lost. Last year, everyone who was going to the NFL still played in the Rose Bowl game. They were like, I'm declaring for the NFL draft after the game, which is uncommon just because for Utah, last year was their first ever Rose Bowl. Obviously, this is the second one. They kind of have an unfinished business mentality, I think. I think it's going to be a really good game. Penn State's only two losses are to Ohio State and Michigan, who are both in the playoff. They're a really good team. James Franklin does a really good job recruiting, really good job coaching. So I think this is going to be a really competitive game. I would probably pick Utah just because we're biased. But Penn State's really good. So that's probably my favorite non-playoff game just from a competitive standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think these are probably the two best teams that are not in a playoff game. Utah, I do think, looked really good. I think they are now the season that I think people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season, that people thought were going to make the playoff. I think they're that good of a team right now. And then, as you mentioned, Penn State only losing Ohio State and Michigan. So I don't know. I'm going to pick Utah as well, as much as – no, it would not frustrate me if BYU could – get into one of these New Year's six bowls at one point. I would want Utah to win if BYU could at least participate instead of being in the New Mexico Bowl, but here we are.
I just think this is most exciting because I don't think a lot – now, maybe I'm wrong and I missed some announcements or maybe they come later, but I don't think a lot of the players are going to be sitting out. So just from, like, a competitive standpoint, I think there's going to be the most meaningful game for the two teams.
Yeah.
Let's talk playoffs really quick and then national championship. So, do you want to start with 1-4 or 3-2?
Let's start with 3-2.
So TCU, Michigan, that's in the Fiesta Bowl, which is way closer to TCU than Michigan, but that's what you get for being the 2 seed. Michigan against Purdue in the Big Ten Championship is really close and pulled away late, just like they always seem to do. TCU lost in overtime, controversial overtime game to Kansas State in the Big 12 Championship. I think Michigan's going to win. I think I've been also down on TCU this year, but I do think TCU is explosive enough that they have one of the best receivers who's been injured a little bit, a foot problem or ankle problem. So if he's healthy, Duggan's a really good quarterback. And they can definitely make enough plays to keep close. Blake Corr, Michigan's running back, is having surgery, so he's out for the rest of the year, but their backup has been just as fine, so that's not an issue. So I think ultimately it'll be, you know, not a huge stress for Michigan, but TCU does have the firepower to keep it close and maybe pull off a win if they can force like a couple turnovers or something.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think the TCU, you know, could do those things. You know, you score a surprise touchdown here or there, you get an interception, anything can happen. But Michigan, you know, I mean, they're the second best team in the country. Obviously, they're very, very good. I just feel like they're going to be by far the best team that TCU has played this year. And so TCU is going to have to be very aware of that. They're going to have to come out really, really strong if they want to be able to stay in this game.
Well, the best team TCU's played so far is probably Kansas State.
No.
Would you say? Maybe. I would say Kansas State's better than Texas. I would say they're better than Oklahoma State. I'd say Kansas. So, yeah, Kansas State's the best team TCU's played this year.
Mm-hmm. And Michigan's way better than Kansas State.
Yeah, and much love to the Wildcats. But, yeah, Michigan's obviously way better. So, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, TCU's, their strength of schedule is really good because, like, the depth. They've played a lot of, like, really good teams, but they haven't played anybody Michigan, Ohio State caliber.
Right.
It'll be interesting to watch. I'm much more interested in that and think that'll be a lot closer, has the potential at least to be closer than the Peach Bowl, which is Georgia, Ohio State. Jackson Smith and Jigba is injured, not playing this game, but Ohio State's really been playing without him for the whole year, so that's not a huge bummer. Ohio State still has, I think, the best receiving core, Marvin Harrison and Mecca Buka. I might have mispronounced the last guy's name, so apologies. CJ Stroud's obviously fantastic. Henderson hasn't been as good this year as I think a lot of people, including myself, thought he would be the running back. Georgia is fantastic. Stetson Bennett is not as, like, objectively awful as he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
His going to the Heisman is a disgrace for the Heisman, honestly. It's embarrassing. He's the 22nd best starter on his own team. He's, like, the 8th best quarterback in the SEC. It's a travesty. I am pissed off that he's going to the Heisman. I think it's disrespectful to Jalen Carter, to Brock Bowers, to any other, like Bryce Young isn't going. Am I wrong on that? I don't want to be spewing hate and then. Okay, so because it was Caleb Williams, if Bryce Young's going, I'll retract the last thing I said. No, yeah, Bryce Young's not going. Obviously, Bryce Young is better than Stetson Bennett, so that bugs me. Anyway, Georgia's going to win. I don't see an issue there.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, after all that, it's like we're not even going to really talk about it.
There's not much to talk about. Like, Ohio State just got the brakes beaten off by Michigan, and Georgia's the exact same blueprint.
Yeah.
Much more talented defense. Jalen Carter's the best defensive lineman, at least interior defensive lineman in the country. So I think we're both thinking Georgia-Michigan national championship.
Yeah, I think we are. And, I mean, really the question is, I think this is going to be a relatively close game. It's going to feel close, but, like, I don't really have to think about picking Georgia.
No, I think, yeah, I feel like I'm saying the same thing every game. Oh, this one team can win, but I think the other team will win. So it's not super strong of an opinion. But I think Georgia's going to repeat. I do. Michigan has a better quarterback. So that's the only thing that makes me want to repeat. As we get closer, I might talk myself into picking Michigan. But right now, I think it's a no-brainer, like Georgia. They're just so good. They're so deep, so talented. So
yeah,
not a lot of controversy there. Not a lot of excitement. Which is fine. And we'll talk about that more because that's about a month away, a few weeks away. So we'll talk about that more as we get there. But that's the kind of bowl rundown.
Good.
Are you ready for my top five?
I'm ready to go.
I think you're going to enjoy this one.
Okay.
Top five college color schemes.
All right.
Not uniforms.
Color schemes.
Color schemes.
Color schemes.
Now, there's a lot of overlap with that. So it's tough narrowing it down. There's a lot of blue, a lot of red.
Right.
I made some tough choices,
mm-hmm.
But here we go. Number five, South Carolina.
Okay.
It's just like, it's like a darker red than most teams. I think they do a really good job mixing like the black and the white as well.
Yeah.
So South Carolina's 5. Number 4 is Washington. Wanted to put LSU in there, but I just decided to go with the gold over the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
James Madison could be in the same thing. UCLA's 3.
Interesting.
I like the blue that they have, like the gold. Especially the basketball jerseys look fantastic. The football, if they have the right face mask, looks great. Well, so UCLA's 3. And top 2 are easy. Florida State's 2. North Carolina's 1.
Interesting. North Carolina 1.
North Carolina 1. Just that Carolina blue, you can't beat it. Florida State's the Golden Garnet is awesome. Honorable mention to Texas because of the guy, the burnt orange.
Uh-huh.
If it was football uniforms, it would have been in there. I could have put it in there. We'll put Texas at 5B. We'll put them on the list.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I have a little bit of a hard time separating the color schemes from the uniforms. The big gripe I have with this is I think Washington, A, they have the worst gold of all the teams that you mentioned by a lot in my mind. I think it's a totally different shade of gold, and I do not like it.
Than
UCLA and Florida State. I think their gold looks bad.
It's the exact same.
It is not the same.
It's literally the same.
It is not the same. And if it is not the same, it's because it is not working with their purple.
It works great with their purple. No, it does their not. Jerseys are awesome.
It looks bad.
It looks awesome.
It looks bad. Take it from me, the one of us who is colorblind.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't really get too much of a say if you're colorblind in this discussion.
No. I get as much say as the show that I had never seen before. Yeah, I don't think that looks good. I think UCLA's is fine. I just think gold looks better with a darker color.
Like purple. Florida
State.
No, I put Florida State ahead of them.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. So that's why I'm saying I don't have a gripe with the Florida State one. I think the Florida State one definitely deserves it. I would put them probably ahead of North Carolina. Simply in saying color combination, I think that, you know, the North Carolina light blue is excellent. But I think, I don't know, are we going to put a team with white as one of their colors as 1 if they only have one color? I don't know. I think the Florida State using 2 different colors, I think has to, in terms of ranking color combinations.
Well, North Carolina wrinkles in some navy blue that can look pretty dope.
Yeah, I like North Carolina, I kind of think should just not have any navy blue.
But their foot, like when they go like white helmet, and it's uniforms, but white helmet, navy blue jersey, white pants, that looks pretty sick.
Yeah, because they're not mixing in. I don't like the sky blue and the navy blue together.
I don't either. And that's why BYU is not even considered, because they do mix like royal blue and navy blue.
Well, no, Kalani mixes royal blue and navy blue.
It looks awful.
The uniforms never actually do.
But the color scheme, the university colors are kind of both, which is stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, who would you put in Washington so horrible? And they're not, but
Texas, I think, is a great pick.
Texas is that burnt orange. It's just unique.
Yeah. USC, I think I would consider USC.
I did consider USC.
Yeah.
I did consider Arizona State as well, but I was like, it's just like a worse version of Florida State.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put Arizona State. I like Arizona when they do like blue jerseys with red numbers and no white. I like that a lot. So I like teams that either you have a white jersey or you don't have white on the jersey at all. And I think Arizona does that very well. So
yeah. Well, I thought you'd be more on my side, if I'm being honest, but it's fine. Sorry.
But again, you know, you can listen to Jake, who watches college football every week, or you can listen to me, who cannot see colors very well.
Either way. Appreciate everybody listening. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
We have not mentioned the Kenyan guy that ran a 153.
We obviously haven't mentioned that.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk about it. This Saturday, a Kenyan dude ran a 201.53. He's less than a minute away from Eliud Kipchoge's world record. And it's crazy because it was a marathon debut. So I am shook, but we don't have to talk about it because that's all there is to say.
So there's our track update.
He's 23 years old.
There's our track update. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back next week. Our college football schedule is kind of over. Playoff rankings are out. So maybe talk about some baseball, definitely World Cup stuff, maybe a little NFL or NBA.
Yeah, we'll have to get back, see what's going on with the NBA now that the Jazz have started losing.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. Appreciate everybody listening again. If you haven't left a 5-star review, please do so. Subscribe, rate us. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys next week.